My wife says her lifelong ambition is to know what I do for a living.
What do you do?
People ask me that. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I buy low and I sell high, and sometimes I'm wrong, but most of the time I'm right.
Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the podcast that explores all the local shops, pops, and you know, parrots and stuff that you probably always pass by, but you've maybe never stopped into. I'm Joel Wayne.
I'm Lacey Daly. And this is it, folks.
Yeah, this is it. So, this is kind of our final episode for the fifth season. I feel like we should mention now that we're like, the way you were phrasing is we're caught up.
Yeah. And so I don't know if anybody ever pays attention, but we usually do 10 episodes a season.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're keeping track, we're on episode 8. But real life, or real time caught up to us. The coronavirus mm-hmm. is still here. And I don't think we'll be able to produce 2 more episodes. Not until things kind of straighten themselves out.
Yeah. There's enough restrictions still on things. And for a lot of the places that are on our list, we're just not really able to go out and do what we normally would do.
Right. And I don't know how interviewing somebody through a mask sounds. And I would never ask anybody to take their mask off. So we know you guys would understand, but we wanted to let all the super fans out there know that cutting it a little short this season.
Yeah. So, and that's just the way it is, but the plan is to be back.
Yeah. Here's to hoping that it doesn't cut too much into our ideas for next season. Mm-hmm. It might shift the timeline.
Yep.
We'll have to see. But we're still in this. Yeah. This is still fun, and we'll be here at some point.
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah. Love all y'all. Should we get to it?
Let's do it.
So, what do we got here today? What's on the docket?
Well, take a look at my outfit. Now I know our listeners can't see me, but what are you
denim.
Seeing? Yeah, a lot of denim.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm nominating Junkyard Jeans. I have to admit, because I'm just honest in this podcast, I don't know if I would have nominated this myself. But over the years, we've done this podcast for years now, we've had a handful of listeners nominate this place or suggest this place,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And we've managed to kind of keep it out of arm's length. But in one of our recent call outs on social media, somebody added them and they were playing a little coy, they being Junkyard Jeans.
Yeah.
They maybe used some emojis and said something to the likes of nothing to see here.
Yeah.
And now my interest is peaked.
Right. Well, and they're pretty active, I believe, on social media too. So so we've kind of gone down that rabbit hole of looking at some of their stuff. And
yeah,
it's kind of fun. Okay.
You know, my reservations are always, it's a clothing shop. Is there going to be good sound?
Right.
You just have to hope that maybe you stumble upon a character or a good talker. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But
because you never know, like, is the sound of denim
good sound? That's actually not real denim.
We need you like walking or something like that.
Yeah, so Junkyard Jeans.
Okay, so what's your central concern here?
I need to know. And again, I will just say I obviously know nothing about denim or vintage denim,
mm-hmm.
but how does a shop like this, and tell me if this can be my central concern, make enough business? Is there that much like demand for vintage denim in Boise, Idaho?
Right. I feel you there because I feel like this was a thing when I was in grade school, junior high, where it was like, it was like your parents or your parents' friends being like, yeah, you could apparently sell your jeans, your old Levi's for a lot of money, you know? And you heard that and you were like, wow, really? That's a thing? But, you know, me growing up in a small town, it was like, man, big cities, who knows, you know, I guess that's something that they do there.
And perhaps this is just beyond my time, because I don't know if I've ever even owned a pair of Levi's. They weren't cool in high school or middle school. Like
you were
like,
more of a rustler gal.
No, it's like those like Hollister and Abercrombie and all that stuff. So nobody was like really into denim.
Yeah. So I guess it's interesting to see that this is still happening.
Yeah. And, you know, like you hear people talk about vintage and stuff, but I don't know. It's like people who are going to thrift stores looking for vintage. But if you're doing it this way through a place like Junkyard Jeans, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
Like I saw something, hold on their website.
I always have skepticism about that too, where it's like people say shabby chic and then you look and you're like, no, this is just shabby. There's nothing chic about it.
Well, these are apparently the experts, but anyway. It says on their FAQ page, are my jeans worth anything? Our knowledgeable staff has the ability to identify the age and value of your vintage garment. Clothing item appraisals are $25 for values up to $500 and $50 for values above $500. What?
Above $500.
Is this an untapped? Should I be investing in Levi's? I'm like considering, you know, opening up an IRA, but maybe yeah. I should just be looking at denim.
Right, right. You know, you just have to see, you know, you have to look at the fees and the year-over-year return for those. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Their site's pretty cool. Their yeah. social media is pretty cool. So they seem like hip people. I guess it's about time that we pay them a visit.
Okay.
What do you think?
Let's do it. Should we take a break and then head out?
Denim, denim, denim. Joel, does it feel like caffeine has somehow become even more important in a time like this?
Yeah, I'd agree to that.
Well, luckily, our friends at Form & Function have the cure, even while we're all stuck at home.
Form & Function's coffee subscription delivers fresh, whole bean coffee right to your doorstep. With options for any style of home brewing, your coffee is roasted to order and ships immediately.
Plus, type in the promo code you know the place at checkout and get 15% off your subscription when you sign up for 3 months or more.
Support your local coffee roasters by visiting formandfunctioncoffee.com. LD, if I had questions about all the construction along I-84,
yeah.
where would I go about getting them answered?
You would listen to Drive Idaho, the Idaho Transportation Department's podcast.
Boy, I should really know this
you
by now.
You really should, Joel. Drive Idaho is also answering listener questions like, what are those blankets in the median? Why are crews working at night? When will it be finished?
Nice. But where would I go about finding this podcast?
Oh, my goodness. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe today.
All right, so we just pulled up
yeah.
to Junkyard Jeans. We didn't get to park on Broadway. It is on Broadway.
Oh, right.
I don't know if we even mentioned that in Boise. And so we're kind of pulled along the side, but it's in that little strip.
Right. It's right where it almost feels like our old stomping grounds to a certain degree for, is that last season?
Two seasons ago.
Oh, gosh, man, I can't even. Bored and Weird Tattoo is, yeah. I don't know if it's right next door, but it's a couple doors down from it where I got my second tattoo, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have to say initial fear.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be judging my jeans? Because I don't even know what brand these are.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
Oh, you didn't wear jeans. That was smart.
Yeah, I actually had a pair of Levi's that I was going to wear today. And then I don't know if I unconsciously, like, opted out of it. But then
darn
I wore
it.
These other, I guess they're denim, but it's gray denim that is not kind of regular blue jeans.
Should I go without pants? Okay.
You should have worn a skirt.
Oh,
yeah.
Darn it.
Yeah, maybe a denim skirt. All right.
Okay.
Should we check it out?
Let's do it.
Okay.
We walk in, and it's very obvious when you first come in that the store is half retail shop and half workshop, really.
Right.
You can tell that a lot of work is being done there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we happen to luck out, as we sometimes do.
Yeah, Eric, the owner and founder of the place.
And the owner of the Instagram account, who admits to right. teasing us back and forth a little bit, and to being a You Know the Place listener, which,
yeah.
thank you, we appreciate. How would you describe Eric? He's not what you would expect,
mm-mm.
I think, for
mm-mm.
the owner of kind of a vintage denim company. And he's kind of just wearing, I think, a white t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, they just look like, you know, plain old jeans. So,
oh, right, right, yeah.
Not like super stylish.
Yeah.
Here we are.
You know, we've had a handful of listeners suggest this place, and we've been trying to avoid it just because we did Born Weird a couple seasons ago. And we're like, it's too close. But people keep nominating. Why? Why do they want us to come here? What's so mysterious about this place?
Big mess, big success.
Big mess, big success.
That's ridiculous. Is that on some of the shirts, at least, or jeans?
Yeah, we have a few like that. But that's our store motto.
Okay.
And you can see we're right there.
Okay.
I like the feel, though.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the store?
Started 27 years ago, and just doing vintage denim. and then started into lots of other things. Now we do a lot of stage pieces for entertainers, work with film industry and music industry, do a lot of customization of denim and jackets and you name it.
So it's not just local stuff.
No, really our business isn't right here in Boise.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a fast-growing place, right? But there's not, you know, it doesn't seem like there's probably enough to sustain it in that way.
I think if we gave it a little more attention, it would. It's getting domestically, it's getting stronger, but we just haven't got there yet.
You know, it has maybe diversified?
Yeah, no, it was easy money back in the late 80s and early 90s, and it got a little more difficult, like 96, 97, and we just survived it, and a lot of people left doing it then, and... Yeah, that's all I've done for 27 years, so I make a living at it.
Nice.
Did you just love jeans, or did you stumble into this?
At the beginning, it was just for money.
Like, oh, because it was so
I looked at
easy.
Every jean as money, and every detail was, you know, a transition to an older jean. All those details were more money. So at first, that's what it was important to me, but then I kind of fell in love with denim as I went along, and now people come to me to find out what the best denim is. And
so we head over to kind of the retail side of the shop, and it reminds me of my grandparents' basement.
Yeah.
They were antiquers, so it has kind of that smell, but in a good way, like you know that there's good stuff here.
Like old peach boxes and things like that, you know what I mean? And it feels like an antique store, which I guess is fitting for it.
Yeah, and they have, I mean, they have obviously lots of denim, but they also had kind of vintage t-shirts, sweatshirts. There was that big Converse shoe. Remember that?
Yeah, a massive Converse shoe that was probably as tall as you.
I could probably sleep in.
You could probably sleep in it, yeah.
Anyhow, then Eric tells us kind of about the growth of Junkyard Jeans and how he works directly with companies like Levi Strauss and how he fits Hollywood stars, like...
We supply the jeans and jacket for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for Brad Pitt.
And oh, wow.
We just did a fitting last week for Brad Pitt. For jeans for another show.
Yeah, as one does.
And then we really just ask him, what's the draw?
It's like collector cars. Like a 63 and a 64 Corvette. The 63 has a split window. Well, as jeans get older, the details change, and they're that much better and more valuable to the collector. And like just this week, I got a pair of jeans I paid $1,000 for, and I'll probably get $1,500 to $2,000 for them.
Okay, so good margins then, at least.
Not always.
Not always.
But we try to.
Yeah. Okay.
I would be afraid to wear something that cost me $2,000. Do people wear these, or do they just keep them?
If they're dead stock with the tag still on them, then sometimes they'll just collect them, maybe. But usually they're worn, especially in the Pacific Rim countries where they pay the most for vintage denim. They'll wear them, but it's easier to understand because they can't buy a vintage car. They can't build a bigger house. Because all the space is taken, so, and they do most of their entertaining outside of their home, so they want to buy clothes that nobody else has. We spend the majority of our money on our car and home. They spend the majority of it on food and clothing.
If you would have asked yourself, like, 35 years ago, where might be, like, would you have put yourself, A, in this spot, in this actual physical location, but B, your business prospect in traveling to Japan and Hong Kong and...
No, not at all. And I was the first one to wear 501s in my high school, though, because everybody laughed at me. And the next year, everybody wore them. But, you know, I was the kind of kid that wore the cleanest T-shirt and whatever jeans were closest when I got up. And I just learned as I went along. And, yeah, now people come to us for consulting and design work to make denim. We even have a documentary called Blue Gold. That came out maybe 3 or 4 years ago now. And it was on Netflix for a couple of years, and I think it's on Hulu now. And the film is about history and culture of jeans in America, but they followed me to Japan and New York and all over.
You're kind of a big deal is what I'm getting.
Yeah, but not here. Not in Boise, people don't know that.
Yeah, but that's a good thing.
Yeah.
When I go to LA and New York, yeah, people line up.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Here's...
We ended up having to cut the day short, really, which we didn't anticipate.
It's the risk we run when we pop in on people.
Absolutely. Turned out that he had a conference call with Levi's corporate that was coming up.
Duh.
Right. Yeah. Sure. So
yeah, we come back another day. And when we do, we walk in and can't help but notice that things look a bit different.
Yeah, it's a little bit more cleaned up. It seems like that the arrangement of kind of the merchandise side, at least, is a lot more thoughtful, I guess.
Yeah, the mannequins looking sharp.
Right.
And there's a new employee, Bella. Yes. And she's a high schooler.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
Here we are.
Good.
It smells clean in here.
Oh, we've been like just remodeling and
changing
everything
around.
Yeah.
Have you worked here long?
It's my third day.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I guess you said you were
just training.
Training.
I'm brand new.
Okay. All right.
Learning how he does everything.
Okay. But you have an interest in jeans?
I have an interest in fashion.
In fashion?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I learned a lot about jeans being here, but it's more so... I came here because I love fashion, and I love this type of fashion.
We pick up really where we left off, and one of the things that we're obviously curious about is how much do these things cost?
True.
Like, the average good pair of vintage USA-made 501s are about $125 to $150.
Okay.
That's the majority of what we sell at our shop.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's from the 1980s and older.
Okay.
Are you wearing these kind of jeans?
Mine are even older. Mine are from the 60s.
And you're literally wearing expensive jeans while cleaning?
Yeah.
See, I just don't get that. Like, if I
spend
more...
The Ferrari guy doesn't drive a Ford, right?
Oh, you're making good points.
But you just use them for everything, though, right? I mean, but you're also a jeans guy then, too.
Then we ask Eric about some of the other items in the store, aside from the jeans.
Yeah, we have vintage cowboy boots, vintage work boots. Okay. Like, these are World War II trench boots.
Oh.
British trench boots from World War II.
Oh, weird. With spikes
with,
like, iron on the bottom. Yeah.
Not something you want to, like, probably wear out, but...
other clothing then, too, especially, like, t-shirts and everything.
Yeah, we do a lot of vintage t-shirts, military, concert t-shirts, just fun 70s and 80s stuff. Like, I think today kids do 90s and call it vintage, but I'm having a hard time getting my head around that.
Yeah, but like a Pearl Jam type of thing from 96 or something.
Even concert stuff I think still works okay. Like in Nirvana, 90s stuff, like that's all good with me. But when you start having Bart Simpson and, you know.
That's just not your jam.
That 90s
much.
Is not for me.
Yeah.
But so yeah, we do a lot of vintage t-shirts.
Where do you get them from though? Where do you find them?
I travel all over to flea markets and rag houses and buy there. And then I also have a lot of people that pick for me. We're kind of a joke that we're kind of like American pickers, Pawn Stars, and hoarders all in one.
And then when you do it then, is it buying individually or is it buying like huge lots of stuff then?
Piece I buy individually.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really like
that.
Yeah,
that's the thing about the vintage clothing that we do. All of it is like the core of the best clothes throughout the years. Like, we're not recreating or making something new. We're just picking all the best brands, the best styles, and what items have stood the test of time already. And so that's why there's a value in those items, and they continue on and on. You can buy jeans here, wear them for 5 years, and sell them for more than you paid for them.
I see Levi's, and then you also have Wrangler. Are those the only two brands that you specialize in, or is there other...
No, I buy all kinds of brands. From as long as it's... made in the U.S. and like 1980s and older, we just have tons and tons of brands.
Okay.
Literally have 10,000 pairs of jeans in the warehouse, and everything from hash jeans in the 70s to Studio 54 jeans. I'm like, just crazy jeans, but we don't have a place to put all those jeans inside our shop.
Is the warehouse local?
There's like four different warehouses.
I was just going to say, okay, so the answer to how many jeans is too many jeans, 10,000 isn't too many yet.
No, I mean, people all the time that bring in, a 50 or 60 jeans to sell to us,
yeah,
and they apologize for having so many jeans, and I'm like, yeah, that's not too many jeans.
Yeah.
You're like, you have no idea.
If it's nice pairs of jeans, then you're, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. To me, I buy, when I'm traveling, I'll buy 1,000 jeans in a day.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't fit in your carry-on.
And then we get a chance to talk to Bella for a little bit and what her interest is in coming here, because it doesn't seem like it's just a regular after-school kind of gig for her.
I just feel like I have the energy to do it. He has so much other cool stuff that he does all the time, and I mean, I'm 18, I'm in high school. I'm here, so I might as well spend my time doing something that matters, and it matters to me to keep this alive and keep people excited about fashion. I know I'm so excited about fashion, and so many other teenagers are right now, and they have appreciation for vintage, and why not capitalize on it? I have all these friends who don't know this place is here and who want to buy this stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, they're going to, like, buckle at the mall to buy vintage. And, like, I know better. But, like...
Right.
People don't know better. I've been educated in the few hours that I've been here so much. It's ridiculous. He has so much knowledge. I still can't believe it.
While we're chatting with Bella, a customer comes in asking for big jackets.
Right. And I think he had actually called before.
Yeah.
And Eric pointed at him and was like, big jackets.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, Eric excuses himself to go, quote, check the back.
Right. And leaves for, 5 minutes go by.
At least.
10.
Yeah.
Where did he go? Is there a basement that we don't know about?
No, there's a warehouse and trunks and a trailer.
Stuff all over.
Yeah.
Does anybody, like, when, at what point do you check on him?
No. Sometimes I'm like, and then I get no answer back. So I'm like, dee, dee, dee. Like, I don't know what to do.
Eric does eventually return.
Right. After searching through all of the storage.
Yeah.
The mountains of denim.
The Narnia of denim.
And he's got jackets in hand, and we don't want to keep Eric and Bella for too long. Bella's trying to basically continue redoing the entire store.
Yeah.
And then Eric is still trying to kind of train her on all this stuff too.
Thank
you. So we thank them.
And we thank them for not judging my non-vintage stretchy jeans.
Right. I'm sure I was too.
Yeah. And yeah. Then we head out to the car to debrief.
Okay. Thoughts on
Junkyard Jeans.
And Eric?
Yeah.
What a guy. What a character.
I know. It's just, it's such a niche thing, right? To go through and do that. And then to, I don't know. We've had a couple this season where it feels like, how did you get
yes.
over the hump of being like,
the trajectory of his
business?
Life, you could do everything the exact same way that he did. And I think 99% of the time it would not turn into what he's created.
Right.
It is just like this amazing combination of him, the time, the connections, and it just works. And I don't think anybody else could go and do the same thing right now.
Right. You couldn't necessarily replicate it.
Yeah. And I thought it was really interesting to be able to meet Bella, like somebody of a different generation who
right.
cares about the same things and is, you know, really passionate and wanting to learn and make a change right here at home.
Right. Not just about growing kind of the online side of things or the international business,
yeah.
but actually being like, all right, there's a market here. Let's focus on kind of the world headquarters.
She dressed that mannequin.
There you go.
I don't think that's an easy job.
I don't know. I kind of want to get let in now. I kind of want to try my hand at it, though.
Should we go by like JCPenney and see if they'll let us in the back room? Okay, fine. I'll make a pit stop.
All right.
LD, do you have shirts you basically live in when you're not at work?
Sure, especially right now.
Oh no, do I need to buy some more? Where would I go look?
Wearboise.com, obviously.
Oh, that's a good idea. Wear Boise has all the Boise and Idaho-themed tees, hoodies, hats, and more for people who like to show their pride for our state, especially for people like you who moved here from Buffalo.
And for people like you who moved here from Oregon. I take a small, by the way.
Noted.
Visit wearboise.com today.
We're back, Jack.
Back, Jack.
Clad in denim, head to toe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just actually in a big denim onesie mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah, I have denim briefs on. They're not comfortable because they're not stretch.
But you're making a good point.
They're American made.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Initial impressions?
I feel like a refrain I've been using a lot this season is okay. Low-key a big deal.
Yeah, that has popped up a lot. Low-key a big deal.
And is that not true times a million here?
Yeah, very much so.
Let me just list off a few things about Eric.
Okay.
He's been to Japan over 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
He does pop-up shows in Venice. He's been featured on a documentary called Blue Gold that's on Netflix and Hulu. He worked with George Clooney's tequila company at Top of the Palms. Like, I mean, this guy's created kind of an empire.
Yeah.
And you would have never known it.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's kind of just off the top of my noggin, things that stuck out
sure.
to me. What about you?
One of the things that kind of stuck out in my mind, I was reminded of the card shop that we went to.
Oh, Jerry's.
The Jerry's card shop that we went to.
I see this. I get it.
You
now.
See this?
Yes.
Because there was an era, right, mm-hmm. where these places just kind of popped up and it was like, you know, and Jerry talked about that, about how there were all these places that were selling baseball cards and everything. And then they all just went under.
Yep.
And the same thing, you know, I remember in the era where it was like everybody was buying Levi's, used
mm-hmm.
Levi's.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they all went under. But then there are these few kind of specialists who've stayed in the game. And then, yeah, like you said, they're kind of low-key a big deal. And that's maybe how they've stayed into the game.
Yep.
In the game is that they've forged kind of networks beyond the other networks that were formed by these kind of fly-by-night places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in it for the long haul, you
yeah.
know, they had staying power. I think Eric said it a few times, the test of time.
Yeah.
And it's
just like Levi's, 100-year-old Levi's.
Go figure.
What about, yeah. What about your central concern?
Okay, my central concern was, how does a shop like this make money? Basically, is vintage denim really that in demand in
like
Boise,
you're
Idaho?
Still like, you're still like, really?
Well, I would be, but honestly, I think the answer is it's not really the shop that makes the money. It's
mm-hmm.
the brand. It's the guy. You know, he's traveling. He's diversifying. He's made himself the guy. And so when you're, yeah, flying over to Japan and Venice and these people know you by name and they line up out the door when you're in town,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course you're going to make money.
Yeah.
And the funny part is, though, is like, and yet he can come home to his shop in Boise, Idaho, which is Junkyard Jeans HQ, and blend in. And nobody,
right.
you know, we're none the wiser.
Yeah, some people know, you know, that he's a low-key a big deal, and then a lot of people
you're just
don't.
Gonna keep saying
I'm
going to
keep
yeah.
saying
okay.
it. But yeah, you're right. And then really it was Bella.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who's kind of trying to turn the shop into more of a destination rather than just basically
yeah.
the headquarters for him to work out of.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Final takeaways?
I think I get it. Although I myself will not be spending hundreds of dollars on jeans to just wear around while I'm cleaning up my shop. I think I understand the desire to want something that nobody else has or that, you know, few people have. It's vintage. It's rare. I mean, that's kind of
really original.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's a built-in kind of business plan in a way, you know, where you're selling these rare items. So I think it's smart, and I think I do understand it, even if it's not my jam. And then, yeah, my other final thought was about Bella, that I think it's pretty cool. Eric very obviously has so much industry knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably about time that he starts passing it on to the next generation.
Right.
Because you don't want that stuff to just go poof.
Yeah, and she seems to be super, super interested in it and just kind of wants to soak it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. What about your final thoughts?
I'll go opposite of you. Like, not that. I don't necessarily think that I'm about to run out and spend several hundred dollars on a pair of vintage Levi's. But I'd invest a little bit. I don't know. There was something about it that I was like, this is kind of, I would totally, I'd love to own a pair like that, a pair of jeans where it's like, these are 55 years old, you know, or something, or I don't know. I get it. I tend to be that way more about, I like shoes.
Well, you do have a lot of shoes.
I do have a lot of shoes. I don't even actually have that much in comparison to a lot of people.
He has
but,
a lot of shoes, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe for your average guy.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I get it.
Cool.
Should we think about all the songs that have jeans in them? Forever in blue jeans. Cheer up, sleepy Jean.
Oh.
Jean, Jeanie.
Oh, wait.
Yes, go ahead.
Bloopers.
Am I on?
You're on.
Hello?
I'm getting into character.
What's the character?
It's me, surprise.
It's just you.
Okay.
Great. It just auto-filled to a Kenny Chesney song instead of the what I wanted. I fucking hate Kenny Chesney. Lacey Deanne, LDD.
Joel Wayne Bartran. If only people knew.
Oh my God. They're like, who is that?
Sorry.
Like, oh, how dare you? Just dance if you all up in the Holy Ghost trance. If you stop, I'm gonna put the killer ants in your pants.
Perfect.
Yeah, you like that?
Yes.
Mic
I do.
Check. One, two.
You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio and You Know the Place Media. Our music is James Dean Kindle and the Eastern Oregon Playboys. Sasha Woodruff is our editor. Audio engineering by Kelsey Black. Visit us at our website, youknowtheplacepodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at You Know the Place.
Tender arms reach out to me from across oblivion. Like stone, I'll glad they sink when I hear that siren song. Ain't no use in pretending.